intro. All right. We're back. The world is burning, folks. This time it's not from the COVID bug bouncing around, not killing you. It's from what? People burning everything because of the police? Well, I can get that. I really can. But the black versus the white thing, I can just, you know, go, really, man? Can't prove that. You know, it's not real. Anyways, the cops kill a lot of people, right? And they, well, they don't like to say it that way, right? And I'm not being politically correct when I say they kill people or murder people. But it happens. It's part of their job. They get full of themselves and, well, get bad ideas. And then they get judges that they lie to or don't, or part of it. And all of a sudden, someone dies. The one that we were talking about this last hour, you know, it's a crime, right? But, or, whatever. Let's go on. The one I want to talk about is Donnie Leek, right? Donnie Leek is that person you guys have never heard of, or most people haven't even heard of out in the interwebs unless you've been listening to this show. You know, he died in the trailer, live streaming. You know, drone flying overhead, bullets. Not much is available about him and the end of his life or anything at this point, because he died during the time of COVID. And COVID was also an excellent cover for these kind of crimes against humanity. Anyways, I asked Susan to join us and to tell us, what she's found out in the last couple weeks since he's died. Let's check in with Susan. Susan, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Alan. How are y'all doing?
Good morning. Good. So what's going
The one thing I do know is that I'm not in Schweitzer County or Menard or El Dorado, Texas, burning it down. And the other thing I know is Donnie Leek was white and the cop was white. I get really, really tired of this Black Lives Matter, because the truth is all lives matter. And Donnie Leek's life mattered when he was taken down with one shot by a sniper, because he made some people mad on a Facebook page. And he had an argument with his family the evening before, where, you know, one of them slapped him. Was he acting up? Of course he was. But, you know, in my book, acting up and being a pain in the side to politicians and speaking freely on a community Facebook page is not criteria for being shot by a sniper.
Obviously, you're wrong, because it happened.
And who's to say that started all this? You know, Facebook has been known to change people's posts just to see what the reaction would be.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. And, you know, it was COVID-related. He was upset. He was upset that Greg Abbott had put down some sort of a decision to have, I guess he's got a license to practice medicine now, a decision to test all nursing home patients in Texas. Well, Donnie's aunt, his, you know, most beloved family member, and this is according to his mother, not me, she was 90-plus years old, and had Alzheimer's, so obviously she couldn't, you know, make a decision for herself on this this test, this health procedure, it was going to be forced upon her against her will. So to make matters worse, you can't go see your loved ones in the nursing home. You can't be there with them
right.
when
mm-hmm.
tests are being run, or even seek approval maybe from someone who's got the medical power of attorney. That was bypassed, and so he was upset about it. What he did was, because he went to grew up and went to school and got married and lived in Menard, knew these people. It's small town Texas. He posted this story about Abbott's desire to test all these nursing home people. What he expected was outcry, total disbelief from the community that something like this would happen. But instead, what they did. You're right. So what he was expecting to garner support or garner outrage, or how could they do this to our loved ones in a nursing home here in our own community, you know, with us especially not even be able to go in there and be with them. And the opposite happened. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They bullied him. Facebook groups or pages beyond a private one have what they call administrators. So these admins, if you go in and, you know, throw an F-bomb or you bully someone, they can just block you from the page. You don't belong to this group anymore. So that's ultimately, you know, what they did. And, you know, part of the stress was the COVID stuff again on top of this. His parents are, I think, in their mid-70s. He was wanting to be protective of them. He would go get the groceries and supplies. He'd bring it, he'd leave it outside. They live on the same property but in different structures, and you know, spray it with the Lysol or whatever, and which I thought was, you know, I wouldn't do it. It's silly. I don't want Lysol tainted groceries, but he was doing his part. He felt to keep them protected. That they had made the decision, you know, to stay at home, and so he was running the errands. He was also running the errands for neighbors that were housebound. One lady, of course, it was. Can't find toilet paper, you can't find bread. So she decided to start baking bread. Well, she couldn't find yeast anywhere. So Donnie took it upon himself to call around asking, you know, for a list if people needed things. And then he went out to go and fulfill that list and take it, to these folks that were homebound. You know, Donnie would take care of neighbors' ranch animals if they were out of town or sick. Take care of their pets, and this guy just had a heart. Was he angry? Sure, he was angry. He's kind of like us. He's more like Alan and I, just trying to
Jimmy
scream Joe from
Bob down the street.
Right.
What America was or supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't y'all care about your rights? Don't you see what's happening to your freedoms? You know, a conversation that he and I had less than a week before that was, Susan, I'm just so tired of telling everyone that, their liberties are just slipping away in front of them, their freedom, and that they're living, you know, under such horrid authority and socialism. And I said to him, I said, Donnie, you know, I've done it too. I've tried to tell people, but you know what? I think the time has passed of trying to tell people this. They've made their decision if they want to live under socialism and at the government's teat, or if they want freedom, they want liberty, and we can't do anymore. We've done this all of our lives. So this was a really, really good, decent man that I called a dear friend for 8 years.
What kicked this all off? Was this like a concerned citizen called in and had concern because they knew he had firearms and they did a wellness check, or what kicked all this off, the actual incident?
Well, it was May the 13th. So Donnie was pretty upset that folks in the small town of Menard, Texas, didn't care didn't care that their loved ones and friends were going to be forced,
killed
tested.
Killed in the COVID was. Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so he went to his dad, and he asked his dad, you know, these people are evil. They don't care. They don't care about my aunt. They don't care about their loved ones. You know, tell me the names of all of these evil people in Menard. And of course, his dad. I may be repeating myself. I haven't had enough coffee. Mom and dad, mid-70s. So you know, they think a little bit different. So what the dad says is, Donnie, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you a list of people that are evil in Menard. And so, you know, I'm certain Donnie raised his voice and got animated. And I know you know who they are, and they just don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about Mom, me. They don't care about, you know, my aunt. And it just escalated from there. And then Donnie's mom slapped him. And, you know, I've never slapped one of my kids before, regardless of their age, but I kind of, you know, understand the emotion at the moment. And it got heated from there. I mean, there's rumors out there that that was videoed, and that gave, you know, the law enforcement the power they needed, you know, to move forward with a warrant, but it wasn't videoed. And so at one point, the mom says, I'm going to call the sheriff's department. You know, keep in mind, she's 74. And, I mean, Rory knows, Betty knows, you know, that the law enforcement's not any good anymore. But still, that was their knee-jerk reaction in the heat of the moment. So that pretty much escalated it. But you also have to know that, you know, back in 2015, or just prior, maybe the end of 2014, the beginning of 2015, Donnie was a truck driver. And he was at the border of Texas. I believe it was in the Falfurrias area. This was a time when Obama was just letting illegals flood across the border, you know, hundreds of thousands. And, you know, everyone was, you know, pretty upset about it. Donnie was equally, if not more, upset about it. He had this sense of justice that was, I don't know, it was akin to mine, you know. But so he pulls up at the checkpoint and rolls the window down. And this Border Patrol agent says, are you an American citizen? Donnie says, does it even matter anymore? Okay, well, you know, he had, you know, a streak of sarcasm like I do, and, you know, quite a bit of humor. And I can picture him doing this, and probably even with a grin on his face. And so at that point, they decided to move him to the whatever they call it, the second stage, you know, where we investigate just a little bit further. So they told him to get out of the truck, and he said, what for? Get out of the truck. What crime have I committed? Get out of the truck. And he just refused, because all he said was, does it even matter anymore? And they tased him. I saw the injuries to his chest. They took a knife, cut his seatbelt, pulled him out, threw him to the concrete, held him down, handcuffed him, and then they arrested him. And that doesn't mean put him in a jail. Once the handcuffs go on, you're not free anymore. You're arrested. You don't have to be put in the back of a squad car and driven down to the jailhouse and booked in, fingerprinted. If you're not free to move, you are arrested. And that is according to John W. Whitehead, lawyer, chief lawyer for the Rutherford Institute. So that was, you know, part of our case. My husband was arrested, was not allowed to move anymore. So they took his cell phone, cameras. They took a long gun, which he was legally allowed to carry. And I don't remember at this point. It was 6 or 8 hours, that they kept him, detained him, arrested him. Ultimately, they released him, but they didn't give him any of his personal belongings back, of course. So that's kind of a little primer for it. You know, I know firsthand when you go through something like that, any respect that you had for law enforcement is gone. I feel the same thing. It's gone. Alan has said it on numerous shows, be it this one or be it Doc Krupa's, that you see those lights, or you don't even have to see the lights. You see one in your rearview mirror. Frankly, I see one in my front windshield or rearview mirror, and the anxiety starts going up. I'm like, okay, keep the lane, use a signal, do everything you possibly can. And I'm not carrying drugs, contraband. I didn't rob the 7-Eleven. I didn't do anything. But you're nervous. Your anxiety gets up there. So that's what Donnie went through. And then he did hire a lawyer to go after them. He tried, you know, different avenues, be it, you know, Texas lawyers or the Rutherford Institute. You know, and the sad thing is when these civil right violations take place, only about 20% of these cases are taken by organizations like the Rutherford. They can't take them all on. Well, what does that say to your listeners? That says there's a heck of a lot of these civil rights cases, you know, assault by cops. So his lawyer ultimately told him that they told him, you push this and we'll file charges against you. So how's that for intimidation? You know, had we have had to have paid for our case out of our pocket, I would have had to have gotten a second lien on my house. We'd probably be looking at $70,000 to $75,000 for that 3.5 year battle against two sheriff deputies. Not everyone has that kind of cash. So that tells me that there's an awful lot of people out there that have been assaulted, abused, have their rights violated, have their homes searched, you know, without warrants, but there's not enough money to push back, to fight it. So to Donnie, and I kind of rambled a bit, but I wanted people to understand, you know, where his head was. So when the mom says, I'm calling the sheriff, well, bam, PTSD or anxiety or whatever just kicks in because he knows what they're going to do. So at some point, I believe they did talk with the sheriff. I don't know if it was face-to-face or if it was over the phone. Sheriff's department asked Donnie if he wanted to press charges against his mom for slapping him, and he said no. So this kind of gave them their excuse to start watching a little bit more, start poking the bear, if you will. Okay, so we're into the 14th, the next morning. 8:30, 9 a.m., and what we have found out, a couple of friends of mine went to El Dorado, which is, I guess, the county seat over there, and we're trying to get, public information, and it wasn't very easy. They ended up talking to this Precinct 1 Judge Edmondson, and what my friend told me, and I'm not giving any of these names, was that this guy was so hungover, this judge, bloodshot eyes, it just looked like he was about to keel over any minute, one of those big old ginormous bellies, his cowboy hat and boots, and I picture the type. And ultimately what they got was a copy of the affidavit where this chief deputy, Jason Chatham, and that's spelled C-H-A-T-H-A-M. Okay, he's also running for sheriff in the same county. And I know some more information about him, too, that's not very good, but that's another show. So I don't know if you need me to take a deep breath and ask me a question or a break or what.
Well,
We're getting ready to go into break. So you can go ahead and take a breath if you need a breath. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. Isn't that great? No, we don't have our knee to Susan's head, and we won't be doing it. But we will be going to break. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than 2 of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm? And do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So here we fight all through the night, going out.
All right. Welcome back, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, you know, the thing that gets me is we're all wrapped up in this George Floyd thing, right? Why are we all wrapped up in that? It's a horrible way to die, you know, of course. You know, have somebody that claims authority over you sticking their knee on your throat and killing you. Stop resisting. And so you have to stop resisting and just be killed. Right? And so they say it's a black versus white thing, and I say, no, it's really an authoritarian, bad programming of our cops. Right? Protect and serve is not their motto. By law enforcement, code enforcement, whatever you want to say. There's talk that the kneeling on the neck is a, what's it called? Israeli Defense Force tactic and technique.
Yeah, I've seen that in a training manual that's been released since that murder. That it is a tactic that they use, you know. And now, the ones that just stood there and watched it, maybe it's
guilty.
A different charge. I don't know, but yeah. When you apply morality to it, they're just as guilty. Who stands and just gawks and watches another man being
murdered? Who's guilty of Donnie's death, right? You know, from the story you just told us, this is all a Facebook fight turned, you know, standoff at the OK Corral. You know, Donnie was upset because this guy in the Pink Palace, right? That's what we call the Capitol building. There's a riot there today, or there's supposed to be, or they call it a protest. But, you know, the guy in the Pink Palace said that they're going to go and test all these people in old folks' homes. Now, folks, you all know, well, I hope you all know, that a lot of the states, the less scrupulous states, would sit there and actually try to infest their old folks' homes with sick people, people that had the flu, the corona, whatever, COVID-19 flu, right? So they'd sit there and throw them in there. It was kind of like, do you remember Damnation Alley, Cannonball Run? I don't remember the one where they pushed the old folks out in the street so all the cars could run them over. I'd get rid of them, right? So they killed off a whole bunch of people during the time of COVID-19, and they blamed Trump. Well, Trump told us to, you know, to kill them in the old folks' home. And Donnie, he didn't like that from what we know. He didn't want them tested. He doesn't trust the test. I don't trust the test. You ain't sticking no Q-tip up right next to my brain. No. He was upset about it, but nobody else was, right? They made fun of him on Facebook, you know, in his group. Oh, you're overreacting. You're an idiot. You know, so are they part for responsible for his death like the other officers, Susan? I'd say that, yeah, maybe. At the least, maybe. Were the cops responsible?
Yeah, you know, and we don't have all of the public information back. It's being worked on as we speak, and it has been nonstop. Okay. And then it got added to the scope of public information was expanded, which I'll explain in a little bit. But you know, we don't know. Did people from that Menard community Facebook page, did they call in a complaint? Donnie said things we didn't like on Facebook. Donnie's being belligerent on Facebook. We don't know. We don't know that. So I'm leaning in that direction. People are just mean. People are hateful. You know, and I'm trying to continue to, you know, love thy neighbor, but it's getting harder and harder as the day goes by. So, you know, I don't... Donnie had a target on his back. We say that. It's been said about me, you know, and I understand the feeling. He tried to hold his Texas House rep accountable. You know, this guy is a Republican by name, but he did not push for and champion permitless carry, constitutional carry, whatever you want to call it in Texas. You know, and his local law enforcement, local commissioners, all local politicians, local media that would not tell the truth. And so this is not just a fellow that sits on his couch and gets mad. This is someone who took a stand at state level, worked side by side with Donnie. You know, he would show up. Sometimes he'd give testimony, but his anxiety was pretty bad. From what all he had been through. But he would man the cameras. He would man the video so that we had this stuff on record. You know, he would show up, you know, and that was a long drive for him. The last time we went up there was to take a stand against red flag laws after the session. You know, Donnie met me in Fredericksburg, parked my car, and he drove me there. And so this is not, you know, someone who did nothing. He tried it. He honestly tried. But what ended up happening, I believe, is that the sheriff's department... wanted him, to shut up, wanted him to shut down. He was a pain in their side. Even the first article that came out by that so-called journalist, Joe Hyde, of San Angelo Live, said basically in a nutshell that he was just a pain in the side to these people. And
respect so, my authority.
Exactly. So the, also the first article I want to tell you, and it's San Angelo Live. It's online, you know, I say this loosely, news outlet. He's the owner and the journalist. But it's the only resources or comments he has is from law enforcement. There was not the other side. It was completely slanted. So what I believe happened was, even though no one wanted to press charges in this scuffle, it wasn't even a scuffle unless you want to include the slap to the face. It was, you know, it was verbal. It was, you know, a family argument escalated a little bit. And they tried to use that as a way to get in to do more to him. They wanted warrants. They evidently shopped the county. So, you know, the way it works, it's pretty simple. And this is why we have levels, supposed checks and balances, which I don't think are there anymore. I'm pretty sure. So Donnie's family ranch was within Precinct 1. Okay, so Justice of the Peace 1 in Schleicher County. So evidently this JP said, no, I'm not signing that affidavit. I'm not signing off on it for you to get a warrant. So they got a hustle. So they start what I call judge shopping. So they end up finding a judge in Sutton County. One of the bigger cities there is Sonora. This is, you know, West Texas. And sure enough, it's got the seal for Sutton County on this affidavit for a different county. So my two friends are there. One is a journalist, and one is just a friend of Donnie. So they're asking questions of this, what they say is a hungover judge. He's kind of smart aleck, of course. He tells them, you just need to fill out this little piece of paper and hand it to me. So they hand it to him, and he laughs and shuffles around some papers and says, well, I don't have anything on Donnie Leak. And they look at him like, what? Well, I don't have anything on that. If you want to know what his name is, go down the street, and it's in the newspaper. Okay, so whenever you do these public information requests, you got to be really, really careful. You got to crush T's, dot your I's, because they will find any reason whatsoever to throw it out, send you a return letter, and say, oh, well, we don't find anything under that name. So what they found was his legal given name. They went back, they did it again, and handed it to the judge, and the judge handed it to the clerk and said, she'll help you with that. So what she came back with was this affidavit with the Sutton County seal on it. And they're like, what is this? What do you mean Sutton County? This is Schleicher County. And so they got a photograph with their phone. They didn't get a literal copy. As they're walking out the door, well, no, let me back up, because this is important. So they leave to go get a newspaper to get his legal name. When they come back, this chief deputy, Jason Chatham, is in the judge's chambers with him. Long pause for
dealings,
drama.
Yeah, that's expected.
Everyone can just make up their own mind about that, the possible powwow that took place in there. And so as they're walking out, they ask again, so where's the copy of the warrant? This is the affidavit. We want a copy of the warrant. We don't have a warrant. We did not get return service on the warrant, which means it wasn't transmitted from Sutton County to Schleicher County, or does it even exist? So it looks like they swatted him with heavy-duty military equipment. Keep in mind, they have two deputies. I mean, they have one deputy and one sheriff. That's it. That's as big as the department is. They're saying it's being said that they don't have recordings of 911 calls. But
so where did the SWAT team and the sniper
county.
Come from then? Where did the SWAT team and the sniper come from?
DPS.
Okay.
DPS, Alan. And so they evidently on the scene that day was DPS, Sheriff's Department, and Texas Rangers. And so what they did was they just rolled in with their MRAP. I'm fairly certain, and I'm being facetious, County didn't plant any landmines anywhere, so there wasn't a need for that. And at one point, they had told his mother, we're going to give him another hour, which means we're going to give him another hour to live. And as the MRAP starts rolling down this ranch road towards him, and I say ranch road, I don't mean like the legal ranch road, I mean a dirt driveway on the ranch. That's when it went south. They're saying that he shot at them. My son-in-law does music mixing and sound and whatnot for a living, and he was able to use his equipment to enhance the video that we had. He said, no, absolutely not. We're all listening at it. And other people have said this. Military people have said this. He did not fire the first shot. And the very last scene of the video was his phone dropping and going to the ground, and you didn't see anything else. And what we're told now was that it was one shot from a sniper, and that was it.
So you did actually find a video of, what is it, the Facebook video? Somebody had a copy of that one? Of his
had done one that morning where he literally said, he was talking about how peaceful it was, that everything was over. At one point when the parents said they were going to call the sheriff and leaving, to be completely honest and transparent, Donnie shot out a tire on mom's truck and he pulled out the wires for the landline. And then later he didn't shoot till he saw the drone overhead, and then he did shoot at the drone. So his second video, he's saying there's nothing going on here at the ranch. Everything's fine. Everything's calm. Even his mom told me that next morning that she was out front. Donnie came outside and saw her. He walked across, 60, 75 yards. And gave her a hug, said, I love you. And so back to the video, he's showing the cows. He says, the cows are happy. Here's my cat, Stripes. Even Stripes is happy. Okay. I signed my vehicle over to my parents for the damages I did, which it was far more than the damages he did. Donnie just wanted to do right. And
what damages? So he shot
a tire.
Now that was
pulled the wires out for the landline.
But I guess okay, you're trying to.
Yeah, but his point was saying there's nothing going on here. Police don't have any business being here. Everything's calm. Everything's fine. And they used this. They used the one thing that the mom did tell the sheriff's department was that he was heavily armed. And, of course, that's not what you do, but she's in her mid-70s and, probably wasn't thinking straight. So they took all of these things together and went, okay, so let's falsify an affidavit, say that he assaulted his parents because he shot out a tire, shot into the air, and it says in their vicinity. When I was talking to Betty, she was upset. She was scared by it, but she said that Donnie didn't shoot at them. So
hey,
they just took all the information,
you know,
is my point, to kind of come up with in words some sort of an affidavit that they couldn't get a local JP to sign off on. So they go to another county. They go shopping around. They can find a signature and a seal.
Yeah. It's sad. It is. Needs to be, well, the story needs to be told, and I guess that's why we're here today doing that. Susan, do you mind if we go into the phones? We've got a couple people hanging on, or we can just skip that all together. What do you think?
Yeah, go for it.
Know what? Okay. Hey, Murr. Keep you waiting too long? Looks like Murr bailed. Murr bailed.
Uh-oh, I talked too long.
Sorry. That's okay. Well, it was me. I
call
thought
back,
I really
Murr.
Needed to. Murr, if you want to call back, we'll sneak you right in there. But let's grab Mike again. Mike, are you have something to say about this?
Well, yes, I do. I just saw a similar situation. That sounded like when I first called in, you were talking about what's known as an ex parte communications, where you came, whoever it was, came back and caught the judge in chambers with the sheriff's deputy. They need to file, or they needed to file, a motion for him to recuse and go through that hearing process, because that undermines the public confidence in the judicial system when that kind of stuff is going on, where they're communicating in ex parte. So that's not kosher.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a very small county, kind of like the Dukes of Hazzard. What you have is Boss Hogg and Roscoe P. Coltrane.
It really doesn't matter, though. You caught them red-handed in doing it. And that means you can get a change of venue, get a different a judge, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
but there is no venue. He's dead.
I will pass that along.
Well,
yeah, we'll
there is a venue.
Along,
there, you can get it. You can get it moved to a different county. You can get it moved to a different district. I mean, you can get the action moved when that happens. And they're supposed to have a prosecutor in there. They got to have. They can't just have the sheriff in with the judge. They have to have all parties in there. You know, that's called ex parte. You're excluding people.
I guess in this case, Mike, you're excluding people, but technically, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, this didn't even happen because there was no warrant. They never fulfilled the warrant that was gotten outside of their jurisdiction, and they killed a man, and they got a warrant from a different county. But they never fulfilled the requirements for that one,
That's not totally accurate. They got an affidavit signed and a seal placed upon it from that county. Okay, we don't have a copy of the warrant. The judge in Schleicher County admitted we did not receive return service for a warrant, so we don't have a warrant.
Wow.
So
I think they could be reviewed. Susan, you of all people know better than anyone that all they need is what they call a wellness check.
But they didn't use that. They did not use that excuse in this case, Alan. I assumed from the beginning that they probably would have. One of the problems with this is that the Leak Ranch is 100 acres and it's landlocked. So you have to go through an adjoining ranch to gain access. So I'm sure, you know, that road that you go down, because we've done this before when we've purchased rural properties, is that you have to have a dedicated easement. So that means you've got to have at least a minimum of two parties, two separate landowners willing to carve out a road for either party to be able to use. So the Sheriff's Department, DPS, Texas Rangers, whoever, needed either permission for all three agencies, or they needed a warrant to be able to go through the adjacent ranch.
There's a bar disciplinary board in every state for, you know, that can review lawyers to lose, you know, be disciplined for their license to practice. And there's a judicial review board. And this, the whole thing needs to be reported to both of them. It may not do any good, but at least it lets them know that we, the sheeple out here, know, we, the people out here, know that there's that they can be held accountable, you know, even if they don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, it's going to be interesting.
All right. I'll let you guys go.
Mike.
Susan?
Yes.
Susan, any thoughts?
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, and I like both of those processes. And see, they think that we won't do this because, oh, well, Donnie's dead, lost cause, what's the use? You know, one of the things that that someone's been mentoring me on, and we've talked a lot about our elections. We don't believe them to be true. We don't believe that they have not been manipulated for a desired outcome for them. The thing that's been brought to my attention is forget about these elections, you know, that are, you know, corrupt. Every single elected official, from the president to the governors to mayors, city council, if you receive public funds as a payment for your job, you've got to be bonded. Okay, and so that's another route that people can take to get these scoundrels out of office. They can, under Texas Public Information Act, they can request a copy of their bond. Okay, well, when I ran for county commissioner, I knew that I was going to have a very short window by law to get my bond in place if I were to be elected. So you do this under Public Information Act, but say you want a copy of the bond for this Jason Chatham, or the sheriff over there, and I forget his name, or even this JP1. Okay, they've got to give that to you. Once you've got it in your hands, then you know the name of the surety company. Okay, so then at that point, two people can swear out an affidavit of misconduct, and then it's reviewed, I suppose, at this surety bond company. And that's another way to get them removed. If the surety bond company kicks them what's called off bond, they can't hold that position anymore. In the state of Texas, you've got to be bonded. And so this could be done over and over and over to remove these bad players from office, because once they're off bond, they can't hold the position any longer.
Mm,
you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait and kick them out of office in an election that's probably not even going to be honest.
I know a friend of ours, in fact, is down in Panama now. How you doing, Mike? Used something like that. He got stopped and got a ticket, and found out that the deputies or police officer had not taken their oath of office, and of course they dropped all charges against him, and you know, nothing, because they didn't want that getting out. And of course then right after that, they instantly made sure that everyone had their oath of office, you know, recorded and everything. So you know, that door was slammed shut. I'm sure that's probably, you might get lucky, you might not. You know, it's nothing you can really count on, because if it is open, they might just drop whatever, and it'll go away. They don't want that made public, but then they'll rectify it.
Mm. Yeah. Thing is, when you look at this case, I guess I'm trying to draw parallels between Floyd thing and Donnie, right? What's come out in the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes is, you know, some things that I've been hearing a little bit on and off about. Well, he shot out his family members, his mom's tires, right, and ripped the... But does that mean that they should kill him with a sniper? You know?
No, yeah, and he also made restitution
really...
between him and his mom and dad
like
by signing up his,
right?
His wonderful little Subaru Outback over to them. He made restitution
again,
on his own.
I'm not arguing that fact. The fact is, the government says when any act of violence, and it's not me, he might have, and they say if there's an act of violence, right, and the person is like sideways, and then that can be definitely called, you know, an act of violence when you shoot out somebody's tire.
It could be called Randy Weaver.
It can be. Well,
it's
definitely a setup.
Process.
Dang. Hang on, folks. Short segment coming up. We'll wrap it up and leave you go for, well, Sunday.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
All right, folks, we're back. Well, that's it. Another episode of Republic of Texas Radio, where we talk about Texas independent people working to achieve Texas independence and a whole bunch of other stuff. We talked about cops killing people, right? Well, cops killing people here in Texas, and you guys heard all that story for the last, you know, what, 2 weeks since this happened? No, you didn't hear it. We talked about it a little bit, you know, a couple weeks ago. Now we've got a bigger story. Story's ongoing. Cops need to, well, you know, I don't know what the cops need to. We need to. You need to. Hell, I don't know what.
We need
Susan,
to stop depending
what?
On the cops. We need to stop depending on the government to keep us safe. People, they're used. There was a point in time in this country when we kept ourselves safe. That's what this whole thing is about. Being able to
live
your life.
Yeah, but Alan, you know, this family, this Leak family, decided to keep themselves safe.
They tried that.
Take care of the problem themselves, between them. Donnie signed over his car for his minor little damages to mom and dad's property, and it didn't work. It didn't work. The law enforcement stuck their foot in the door and figured out a way to use it, even though they weren't involved, and told that their services weren't needed. No, we're not pressing charges. Well, yes, we are.
Once the system gets involved in you, or you get involved with the system, with a centralization of records and the ease to pull it up at the punch of a button, like I said, you're not just a card in a file in Schleicher County, you know, in case the next time you come through, you know, Barney Fife's going to pull you over and he can go pick your card out of the file. Any of those people can pull you up at the punch of a button and find out your whole history that you've had with anything. Pretty soon it'll be they'll pull up your school records, everything. Everything will follow you.
Well, I wish it was a Barney Fife.
When the system gets you, it does not let you go.
Of course, and I wish it was a Barney Fife. I mean, he kept his wheel gun on his hip unloaded and his one bullet in his breast pocket. You know, it's not like that anymore.
He's
fully militarized.
And,
you know, I want to make the point. This morning before we're gone, that we're not in Menard burning down anything. We're not attacking even the police that did this. We're not going to Austin and tearing down the Stevie Ray Vaughan statue. We're not doing any of those things. We're going through using the process to go through the process.
But you are not respecting their authority, and that's what pisses them off, Susan.
Yeah, well, we'll see how
well,
it goes.
Well, in Texas, guys, government is created by the people, okay? And, yeah, I know that's words on a piece of paper, but it still means something. And at some point, we can abolish and do away with and remove and change the government that
unfortunately, it won't
that's
be
in our power.
The court system, because that is their system, Susan. And it ain't broken. It can't be fixed. That's what the system is designed to do. Unfortunately, it is their system, and that's what we have been slowly led more and more to accept incrementally, and it's invading all of our lives, every bit of it, at this point in time.
You're right. You probably ought to have my husband on your radio show. You'll hear something totally different.
Well,
that would be neat.
I bet.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you for letting me bring Donnie Leak's name to the forefront.
Have a good Sunday, folks. Bye-bye. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.